your case, we can take a nap. So the case before us now is U.S. versus Horn.
Thank you, Judge. May it please the Court, Patrick Boyle on behalf of the appellant. Your Honor, this was a case where Mr. Horn was charged in a one-count indictment for fraud, a fraud that was attempted back in the spring of 2007. He did stop the attempted fraud about 2 years prior to being charged in this case and arrested very soon after him being charged in the district court. He entered into a written guilty plea with the government. He also gave a defendant's version admitting his misconduct to the probation officer, and that was made part of the pre-sentence investigation report that was provided to the district court, wherein he admitted his misconduct and accepted responsibility. At the time of his guilty plea, he also made oral statements setting forth in great specificity what crime he did commit. He apologized to the court for that behavior. And, of course, in the guilty plea, it was anticipated that Mr. Horn would be receiving the reduction for acceptance of responsibility. The purpose, of course, of that reduction is to encourage defendants to promptly admit their guilt, allowing the government to not have to devote resources to preparation of trial and the actual trial. It saves everyone work and resources that could be otherwise applied. And that purpose was certainly met and satisfied in this case. And it should be emphasized that, you know, virtually in almost all cases where a defendant pleads guilty, they do ultimately receive the acceptance of responsibility. But here, you know, this wasn't just a blind plea. This wasn't a case where the defendant, you know, had motions to suppress or testified or anything like that. Again, it was an extremely prompt plea pursuant to a plea agreement. And he was going to receive the three-point reduction. And I don't think the government disputes that in any way.
No, but his big problem was after the plea and before he got sentenced, he was pretending to be a lawyer and got involved in that fraudulent sales contract for $2.6 million.
That's correct.
That's really the problem. In terms of acceptance of responsibility, the court is trying to figure out, is this someone that's going to commit another crime, if they fully acknowledge things, and so he pleads guilty, and then he does that.
Yes,
Judge.
This
is a different situation.
That was the problem, and that's no question that that was what Judge Shader focused on in denying him that acceptance of responsibility. He did have the guilty plea. He was out on pretrial release, which was being monitored by an electronic bracelet. He was living in the Ann Arbor area of Michigan. He was given permission to travel while on bond, and while he was out, he did engage in this serious misconduct in the hopes of impressing a woman, in the hopes of engaging in a romantic encounter. He certainly misrepresented who he was, his assets, and it was shameful and frankly, cringe-inducing what he was engaging in. But should that by itself outweigh all of the other things he did right on all of the other things that evidenced a prompt acceptance of responsibility prior to that and also post that? Because of that serious misconduct, the judge violated his bond. He was taken off the floor. Instead of being out with his family preparing for sentencing, he was immediately placed in the Kankakee County Jail for about, 10 weeks awaiting his sentencing, and that's significant punishment. And we're not disputing that, and we understood why the judge did that. After being taken off the floor, Mr. Horn, though, wrote a letter of apology to the court. At the hearing regarding that violation, he admitted his misconduct and apologized for that as well. And I think during that 10 weeks, he certainly showed you know, a greater sense of acceptance of responsibility, which the judge could have considered on the date of sentencing. And what we argue in the brief, I think it, with great specificity, I think page 7 of our brief, is that in the application notes under the section regarding acceptance, there's all these different factors that a court can look to see if a defendant is deserving of it. And I just think the sentencing court focused only on that misconduct, did not really treat it as just another factor to be weighed against all these other considerations. I think all of the other considerations that would apply to Mr. Horn argued very strongly for him to receive the acceptance. And if the court had balanced those things, I think he would have concluded, despite this misconduct, while awaiting sentencing, Mr. Horn was still entitled to the acceptance. That is what I think the clear error was. He didn't engage in that. He just focused on the mere misconduct as, you know, against the fact that, well, he pled guilty. But it was much more than just a guilty plea. He did, he wasn't engaged in what he was, the fraud he was charged with for over 2 years. The guilty plea was pursuant to a written plea agreement, extremely prompt. He had made oral admissions to his guilt, written submissions. He engaged in post-arrest counseling, attended Alcoholics Anonymous, was in every other respect in compliance with his the conditions of his pretrial release.
Well, but he was doing that while committing another crime.
Well, by the crime, are you referring?
Yeah. With the conduct with the woman in St. Louis.
Yes, he did do that, and it was, again, it was shameful. And
it's really, to me, it's just like, here's the original crime was submitting a false death claim on his living wife's life insurance policy. So it's a defrauding, you know, fraud-type situation. And this situation with the house, it's the same thing. So the judge concluded he hadn't learned anything.
No,
and maybe the judge thought he wasn't sincere when he pled guilty, that he really... it's like identical. And I mean, it is different. The facts are somewhat different, but the heart of the crime is the same.
There are certainly issues with Mr. Horn and honesty, and that is something that he was working on, I think, very hard. And again, that's why I think the sufficient punishment for that was violating his bond, taking him off the floor, having him in custody, and really think about his conduct. And also, these are other things that could have been considered under 3553, which I think the judge did do. All we're asking, Your Honor, is that this be remanded, that he receive the two-point reduction for acceptance of responsibility, and that he be resentenced with that two-point reduction. Thank you for your time.
Thank you. Mr. Boyle. Mr. Hedges, now.
Thank you, Your Honor. Ryan Hedges, the United States. May it please the Court. A defendant's sentence in this case should be affirmed. The district court's determination that he had failed to accept responsibility for his fraud offense was not clearly erroneous. The defendant has focused on the judge's reaction to the misconduct while he was out on pretrial release. But the idea that this by itself was what led the district court to deny acceptance of responsibility really is not correct. The evidence before the district court at sentencing established that this particular fraud offense was one of many fraud crimes committed by the defendant over a 15-year time span. And those crimes included life insurance fraud, disability insurance fraud, felony theft by deception, and misdemeanor false pretenses. So the record basically established that the defendant had supported himself or attempted to support himself by stealing money from insurance companies and individuals for a very long time. And it was against this backdrop that the judge took into consideration the misconduct that defendant engaged in while he was on pretrial release. And what the court ruled, and it's at pages 21 and 22 of the sentencing transcript, he noted that defendant's misconduct was part of a whole pattern from the defendant that is just not acceptable in terms of acceptance of responsibility. He found defendant's repetition of conduct surprising, as Judge Williams noted, given the nature of the fraud charges in this case. And he stated that defendant's repeated rationalizations did not ring true. as explanations for what is really a very long sequence of fraudulent activity. That's what led the court to determine that defendant had not accepted responsibility and had not voluntarily ended his criminal conduct and associations. That determination was not clearly erroneous. As this court has held as recently as United States versus Sellers last year, evidence pointing towards acceptance of responsibility, such as timely pleading guilty and truthfully admitting the offense and relevant conduct, may be outweighed by other acts. And that's exactly what we have here. The idea that defendant stopped his conduct 2 years before he pled guilty is not quite accurate. The offense ended because investigators discovered it and refused to pay out on the claim. That's why the offense ended, and that doesn't support defendant's argument for acceptance of responsibility. So in light of all the evidence and the totality of defendant's conduct, the district court determined no acceptance and granted and imposed a sentence just below the middle of the applicable guidelines range. And for these reasons and for those contained in our brief, we would ask that this court affirm defendant's sentence.
Thank you, Mr. Hedges.
In its brief, and here again this morning, the government makes reference to all of the other prior criminal behavior by Mr. Horn and also some subsequent unrelated, in some circumstances, uncharged criminal conduct. At the time of the written plea agreement, the government was aware of all of that. Despite that, they agreed that because of this timely guilty plea in this case, they were agreeing that he should receive the 2 point. Because of the offense level, he would receive the additional 1 point. So I would just suggest that I think it was the misconduct while awaiting sentencing. That's what Judge Shader focused on in his determination that he shouldn't be entitled to that reduction. And I think that's what this court should focus on. Not all this other behavior that, again, didn't prevent the government from entering into the written plea agreement suggesting that he should receive it. The focus should be on, did the district court clearly err in deciding that this pre-sentence misconduct outweighs all of the other things that would have otherwise made a very strong case that Mr. Horn was deserving of it and should have received the acceptance of responsibility. Thank you for your time.
Mr. Boyle, you took this case by appointment, did you?
Yes, Judge.
You have the thanks of the court for your very good representation of your client.
Thank you very much, Your Honor.
Thanks to both.